advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
All right, we're coming to you recorded from the Fight Club Studios basement.
That's right.
This is old shit, and you're just now hearing it.
That's right. This is like fucking from yesterday.
Fuck yeah, it's old. Old as shit. Might be from a month ago.
It's true.
We might be on new and better topics.
Technically, they don't know when we record. Mm-hmm.
No, you don't even know, because we are time travel podcasters.
That's true.
So
my knee feels better.
Does it?
Yeah.
All of a sudden?
I got my MRI results. Yes, all of a sudden, actually. He fought me and made me get a cortisone shot. So I had battled cortisone. Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't want to do it, man. He's
Why?
Like, it's going to feel better now. Well, you hear stories about like dudes blowing out their knee after
That's
cortisone.
That's because they're pussies.
Maybe. So the better part of this story is, though, my doctor seemed distraught, and his underwear, his boxers were hanging out of the back of his scrubs, and they were bright red with little white hearts. And it made me like start questioning all kinds of things. I was like, I don't know. What does that say about this dude? Did he buy those? You know what I mean? Like, what does that say about a man who wears bright red boxers with white hearts? I think you have some. I'm talking to you, Brad.
That's not me.
That's a weird choice.
Yeah, he's like a surgeon. I don't know.
And it's winter. Like, if it was around Valentine's Day.
That's what I said. I said it's not even close to February.
But maybe he's just had them, you know.
From last February.
Maybe he forgot to do his laundry.
That's exactly what I thought.
And he's like, fuck, all I have is the fucking...
So then I settled to he didn't do laundry, boxers. And it's okay for him to stick a needle in my knee. Mm-hmm. So,
or the needle was kind of symbolic of a penis, and your knee was an anus, and that's what he wanted to do.
That's one way to think about it.
That is indeed one way.
He did penetrate me.
He did penetrate you,
and it felt good.
And it's something he could talk to his friend
about. Hurt
it
first, but it was a good kind of hurt, and now it felt good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if
a little bit of blood, but it's okay.
Did he and one of the nurses ever make eyes at each other? Like, was it
while it was happening?
Just in general, like
no.
It could have been a gift.
Just
from
Brent
a nurse
and the doctor. And,
yeah, I kept trying to look away. Solid stare.
He's like staring at you, just stone cold, just into your eyes.
My MRI was not good though.
And then the Love Boat song comes on. It's the Love Boat.
So that years
something,
of everything.
Something, something. I don't know the words.
Everything that could be wrong with my knee is wrong with it.
What's wrong? You have cancer in it.
Except for cancer. Well, that's in good. My egg leg on the other side, probably.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I have. He said I need like cadaver harvested meniscus, crazy donations. Part of my femur is dead and lost blood flow. It's bone on bone.
Oh, that's just, it just needs time to heal.
No, that's
like a broken heart.
He said it is what it is right now, and that's just how my knee feels now. So I said, okay, then give me a shot because that sucks.
It'll get better. Yeah.
But it feels fabulous right now.
Yeah.
The big thing is he gave me some more shit that he didn't tell me he was giving me. So it turns out in my shot was lidocaine. Toradol
and feces
and
water.
Cortisone. No fecal water that I know of.
Well, fecal water helps.
I don't know though. He came in the room with the shot in hand. Anything could have been in there. There might have been Red Bull.
It was a placebo. It was a placebo shot. It was maple syrup.
Could have been 2% milk by the look of it.
I mean, they do studies in Canada where maple syrup is like that is the fountain
placebo?
Of youth fluid in Canada. So if they shot your knee up with, think about how good your joint would feel with maple syrup in there. I mean, just think about it. It would just be nice and just gooey and feeling good.
I don't even like syrup on my pancakes, let alone in my joints. Yeah.
It would feel delicious. And it would smell good. Every time you walk, it would just creak this like maple, you know.
I'm going to take this zip up Sofa King hoodie off that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's
nice.
On here. Yeah. All right. I'm done telling these stories, but I feel great.
Last week on Monday, I caught the flu. Like fever, body aches, nausea, like everybody in my office was out for the week because they all had the same flu. Mm-hmm. So I finally got better on Friday.
I think the flu should have caught you. Like the statement that you caught the flu looked like you actively like engaged trying to get it, and then you caught it.
Yeah, like
you
had a little,
technically, so the flu caught you.
The flu caught me.
You had a little micro net running around.
Yeah, that's right. So on Friday, I was like, oh, finally, I feel better. Thank God. Woke up on Saturday with a fucking head cold.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking it's horrible.
Good. It's because you eat too many vegetables. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
So I apologize in advance for coughing and for the fact that my voice is probably going to get extra raspy, tone low-key by the end of the episode.
No one's complaining about that.
So
who thought a cough could be sexy?
Jeffrey Dahmer would be all over you.
He would be all over me.
Pour some more of this.
So we do want to thank Jack, a.k.a. Maximus Newsiness.
A.k.a. Bulgimus Maximus.
Maximus Bulgimus.
Maximus Bulgimus, your Brad. Yep. He sent us a gift box from the UK. It's got three mini El Yucateco bottles with sombreros on them that are
for
awesome
our collection.
For our El Yucateco collection. If you don't have one, then suck it, because we do.
I don't think you can get those.
I don't know where you can. I think you got to go down Mexico way in order to get those.
My favorite thing that he sent us is all the Nestle products, though.
Yeah, awesome. And then he sent us a box of
I got a Lion bar right here. It looks good. I'm about to eat it too. I justified this with Dave. We didn't buy it, so it's okay.
Because it's Nestle?
Well, it's Nestle, and I didn't buy it, so it's okay. Somebody else bought it. I mean, we can't do anything about that.
Yeah, deed is done.
Yeah, deed is done. We've already killed one black child. I'm just going to eat them, which is appropriate for the show.
He sent us a box, and in the letter he says, I packed some chocolate that I'm pretty sure they don't have in the U.S. Apparently, your chocolate sucks ass compared to ours.
What?
I dig Hershey's, but whatever.
Motherfucker, we got Hershey's.
I like that part where he scratched out the word and said he writes like a
toddler. He scratched out whatever and said I'm 24 and write like a toddler, which was pretty awesome. Yeah. But I do have to agree with him that our chocolate does suck ass.
Yeah.
Dave's picky, though. He doesn't want coffee that's like more than a day old, and he doesn't like tea.
Dave don't like the Tetley. I drink Tetley.
They don't. He did. He also included the only thing that he included in there that I, because it's all got dairy in it. The only thing he included was the tea, and I don't drink.
Why
tea,
does it have Family Guy on the front of it, though?
It does kind of have Family Guy on the front.
They like Family Guy in the UK,
and he gave us Marmite,
Peter
which is the
Griffin. That's
the
what you
UK edition of Vegemite. I don't know if it's any different. If it is different, I'll try it. If it's the same thing, I got a whole jar of it.
At break, I could go get a plain bagel and I'll try it.
It's the same.
I've never had the other.
Well, you haven't, no, but I'm telling Dave, I haven't had it either. But a friend of ours who's from the UK, lives in Hong Kong, he said it's the exact same
thing.
Yeah. So
it's not bad. I had it. I didn't like the bitter butter.
There's a really funny commercial.
There's like a specific way to fix. I actually, like I've said before, I put it in soup because it adds like a good soup stock.
That guy said spread it as thin as possible.
Oh, yes.
Do not do like cream cheese or a dip of any sort. It's the thinnest layer you can possibly put on there. It's an absolute
chocolate is good. No wonder all their teeth are fucked up over there.
That's what happened to Princess Diana. Her teeth are fine, actually.
No, hers, yeah.
And I will admit, though, even though our chocolate does suck ass, you guys have some really bad names for your chocolate.
You're not even going to break off a back piece of that Lion bar, huh? You're just going to fucking mouth all over it? No one
back
else?
Piece? No.
I'm not vegan. I can try the back of that.
Here.
Let's see that.
I want you to eat the front of it.
I'll do it. Here.
Oh.
Now you can.
Now I got to break off the back. I don't want your fucking pancake knee.
We kissed.
Nah, that's true. We have kissed before.
Yeah, the names are bad, though.
Yeah.
A Lion bar is kind of lame. A crunchy.
Yeah, Dairy Milk.
That one's named a Yorkie. That's
Yorkie.
My mom's dog.
Jaffa Cakes. Like, they're just really bad names. They're probably delicious. I'll never eat
that. That one's good.
It's like a crisp.
Bad
it's
names.
Like a. It's like a.
If a Nestle's Crunch was round and then
with a Kit Kat. In the middle.
I was going to say Twix. It's like Twix with Nestle Crunch.
No, because Twix has a cookie. This has like a waffle cookie in it.
Yeah, they get a little bit of DNA from both.
Yeah.
And I will say, even though he might be right that in the UK their chocolate is better, I do have to say in America our serial killers are better.
Fucking.
You got Jack the Ripper, whoopee fucking do.
No.
We're here today to talk about Jeffrey Dahmer. And I did.
Who would eat Jack the Ripper?
Who would eat him? Yeah, he would. I did specifically want to do Jeffrey Dahmer because last year we did a Thanksgiving episodes for Thanksgiving week. So if you're listening to this sort of live time-ish and you didn't listen to last year's, you can listen to how fucked up Thanksgiving is. And I wanted to do a follow-up on Thanksgiving, so I thought Jeffrey Dahmer would be a good solution.
Thanksgiving feast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he had people for Thanksgiving. Over.
I'm sure he did.
he had visitors.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey Dahmer, this was more fucked up than I thought it was going
to
be.
I had to force myself. You guys know I don't like scary movies, and it's the same kind of thing. There's just some fucked up shit. I did not watch a documentary on this one. I couldn't make myself do it. There is a dramatized made for TV like thing for it. I couldn't do it. I just read, and you know that I don't like reading page past 60. I probably read more than 60 pages trying to figure this shit out.
And I usually, cause I seldom watch any videos, and I kept finding like interviews with Jeffrey Dahmer after the deed was done.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I should watch these. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch them after I do the studying. Like when I'm done, I'll watch these videos. And I have to tell you, that was probably the wrong call, because if you were to watch those videos beforehand, you wouldn't be fazed and you wouldn't think anything about it. But watching this cold-blooded motherfucker talk about this shit after you read about what he did, was it really added something to the
videos. We did the Gein thing, and that was creepy, nipple belts and all, Olsen and the screwdriver, all that craziness. This one, I can't imagine there's a crazier one than this. This one is so gross.
Well, you have John Wayne Gacy, who's...
Look into this shit. Like, it's not my thing. Like I said, I don't watch scary movies. This shit is horrifying.
Well, then you're going
to
get a lot of surprises over the podcast years. Dahmer was crazy. Like, and really, he wasn't crazy. Like, he was like,
he was sane.
The fuck do you mean he wasn't crazy?
I mean, he was normal.
Sane though, when convicted though, they didn't say he was insane.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's not insane. Like,
well, I know, but that's weird.
I have this. Well, this is my thing. Like, I would really like to know, like, what makes like Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, these guys who are seemingly normal on the outside, just what makes them tick? Like, why so crazy? You know what I mean? Like, I know little kids now that like dissect animals or kill things, you know, like it's kind of like a certain trait of people.
But yeah, I mean, we all knew a kid who did fucked up shit to
who
animals.
You thought like, was going to be a serial killer. Yeah. Like that guy. No, that guy's going to kill everybody. Like, you know, but they don't. They grow up and they're a normal person if you follow them or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, like what really makes them take that step? And I think it's just, I mean, it's just something in the brain. You know, there's just something.
In one of the interviews that I watched, and we'll get into his background and everything here in a minute. But in one of the interviews, he was talking and he said that the first one he did was very hard to do. And he said the second one he did was a complete accident, that he didn't even intend to kill the guy.
Right.
And then he said after the second one, it became a compulsion that became almost impossible to stop.
Yeah.
Like he was compelled to keep doing it. And I'm just like, how the fuck are you going to rule him sane twice?
Yeah.
Twice. Yeah. Two court psychiatric appeals
it's because
that basically means the psychiatrist is saying he's not insane. He's just fucking evil.
He's choosing.
Right.
He's apparently choosing. Yeah. Because he knew the difference between right and wrong. He knew that killing people was wrong. You know, like he knew that. And he said that in interviews that he knew it was wrong. He was sorry for doing it.
Mixed with the sexual thing, mixed with the like liking to cut things up.
Yeah.
It was a trifecta of just holy shit.
So what do you guys think about the gay thing? Like, I mean, not that being gay, there's anything wrong with it.
I think people make that choice. The problem that happens is the repression of
Because so like you have John Wayne Gacy who was, I mean, seemingly normal on the outside, but yet he killed boys, you know? So Jeffrey Dahmer. Same thing, you know, like what makes that go?
I think there's some self-directed like hatred because of societal like branding and repression of that, of them having to hide it and try to live with it supposedly being wrong and being judged and the perversion of it, that it turns into something that they had to hide. You know what I mean? And then it just so happens that those people that had that serial killer tendency, what's happening over there? He didn't break off a piece.
He's having a fucking chocolate.
He had a mouthgasm.
I just had an orgasm. I literally got goosebumps after I ate this shit.
I was going to ask for a bite, but now that you said you came,
there's another one in there. There's two. There's two.
All right.
No, the dairy milk, the Cadbury dairy milk is fucking, it's like a Belgian
chocolate.
Brad's
O-face.
So
I never wanted to see it. Just go ahead and make the noise. Cause
well, that's because he's usually behind you. So
that's true.
Yeah. My eyes roll back into my head. I look like a fucking.
Yeah. I called it. I never knew what made the hot yogurt, but that's what makes it, that face right there.
Yeah. Just
twitching, small on my back.
Twitching, yeah, small on your back. Yeah. right on the tattoo, the bullseye I put on there.
Dahmer worked at a chocolate factory.
He did.
Oh, he did? He was a mixer. He did.
That's why I said these are appropriate. Yeah. All these candies.
It's a perfect mix. Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. Maximus Bulgimus.
But no, I like talking about the sexuality thing, I think you might be right. I think that the idea of repression might tie into it, but I know some of the other serial killers we've looked at had similar weird sexual fixations with their victims and were heterosexual.
Right.
I mean, that's true. A lot of times serial killing has something to do with like sexual
and family, the way they raised them.
And the death like somehow become fused.
Well, Dahmer's first thing was not even that. It was a matter of dominance. It was that he didn't want his partners to move. He wanted to have total dominance, and it was a turnoff if they moved.
Yeah.
And so he actually didn't intend to kill them originally.
He wanted to lay next to them while they were knocked out.
He just had a weird like fetish with them laying still. He wanted them to be still. So he started doing the sleeping pill thing. And
he even said that, I have a quote here from one of those interviews, and he said, and the Stone Phillips was interviewing him and said, you know, was your motive sexual? was it sexual? Were you trying to rid the world of something? Like he was asking, like, you know, what was it? And he said, quote, the only motive there ever was to completely control another person, a person I found physically attractive, and keep them with me as long as possible, even if it just meant keeping a part of them.
Yep.
Ooh.
And he meant that shit literally.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, so, run into him in a gay club.
Yeah, which is how he met his victims, right? So Jeffrey Dahmer, born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1960. Fairly normal parents, but you read like his childhood background and it's just like a checklist of serial killer shit. I mean, it's like, you know, bitter divorce between the parents, like trouble at home. He exhibited violent tendencies. He was a loner. He used to kill or injure animals and dissect them just like
kept
that.
Kept them
typical.
In jars in a shed, in the whacking shed behind his house.
Yep.
The whacking hut.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even live animals, he would run his hand over and examine their body because he was so curious about
how they worked.
It fitted, is what he said, how they fitted together.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's so fucking weird.
And it said that the family moved frequently because of work. So he never made any connections with friends. And they think that just deepened as he got older. And then there was one thing that I read that said something about it said that he was a normal child for the first several years and he underwent surgery for a double hernia. And that after the surgery, he was like somehow different, like post surgery, he started to get farther apart from his brother. He quit trying to make connections with people, but the surgery, he was really young when he got the surgery, he was fucking 4.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a weird statement.
I think it was some of that mommy stuff. Apparently she would work herself up into like anxiety frenzies over like stupid little spilt milk shit and then be very demanding of the children. The dad was away.
She was a control. Free.
Yeah. And she would make herself like bedridden and be very needy. So like there's that whole mom kid relationship that you saw. I think it was Olsen was like that. Yeah. Dean was like that.
Yeah.
There's that weird mommy relationship thing that's too close. And I think that fucking might twist their image of a female. You know what I mean? As far as like what the role of a wife or girlfriend or female or significant other is, because they get this early thing in childhood with this mom, you know, connection, and that might twist some shit too.
Right. Well, like they can't love a woman because they love their mom so much.
Yeah. Or resent or neglected or something. Yeah. There's this weird, super early onset thing of
with moms,
the improper connection,
moms
with
and
a
religion.
Female,
like it's like a weird
with
thing.
A female figure.
Yeah. And that female figure thing was definitely here as well. So like I said, I mean, he's sort of textbook, you know, in retrospect, and even, I mean, you even read interviews with, you know, people who knew him and they were like, oh, he seemed like such a, like I never would have pegged it on him. Like that's always,
he was just an introvert. I mean,
he kept to himself, whatever, but you know, so when he was 14, according to himself, he became obsessed with violence and with bodies. He said that it was about the age of 14 was when he really like went from just like a passing fascination or a phase to being something that he was fully obsessed about.
Well, at some point when he was really little though, his dad was like cleaning out from the house and like remove like cat bones or raccoon or something. And he was like overly excited about it. And that's when he became obsessed with the whole like animal stuff.
Well, he used to go find rodents and
he impaled a dog's head behind his house at one point, like dog's head on a stake when he was little. Like started with like butterflies, dragonflies, and then it moved up to, he saw the dad's bones thing. And then
he read the story of Vlad the Impaler.
I'm That's right. He knows. I think the bones. The, the bones might have been from a pig because he said that they dissected a fetal pig in biology class.
Yeah.
And that he like ended up sneaking it out of the classroom and taking it home so we could take it apart even further. And he ended up keeping the bones.
Yeah. The bones were age 4. His dad was removing those bones.
Jesus.
Yeah, I just saw my notes. It's age 4.
Well, yeah. That was when he had his double hernia surgery. Yeah. Maybe there's something
to it. It wasn't the bones and the impalement of his dog's head. It was the surgery.
His dad said like all through his childhood, because they lived in kind of woodsy area, he would go out and he would bring animals in and dissect them out in the backyard, which their backyard's not the typical like fenced in backyard everybody has. It's that woods. It's just a fucking, you know, forest behind him.
And there was no Ataris yet.
Yeah, no Ataris, which this leads to another thing.
Right. And I think the whole time I was reading everything about him, like as a child and everything, because it was so clear at such a young age that he was fucked up. Yeah. I just kept thinking about the TV show Dexter. Like, yeah, I mean, that whole premise that like the cop, you know,
he's a good guy
in the show. The cop is a good guy. He sees that his son is going to be a serial killer. So he trains him to be a certain way. Yeah. And it's like, it's,
he trains him to be good, right, but use his ability anyway. I mean, he's going to kill people.
So you might as well do it for good.
It was Leave It to Beaver times at that point, though. It was
what happened was the one who got away was actually Gary Coleman. And so, which feeds into later years, just the continual search to try and get the one that got away.
He had a chance.
He did.
He had a chance to end the Coleman, but he fucked up.
Did you hear about the chicken dinner thing?
Winner, winner.
Yes, chicken that's dinner. Exactly it.
Chicken fried steak.
Continue. My point was made. You got it. They were actually having dinner, and he was staring at the chicken after they were pulling the meat off, and he asked his dad, like, what will happen if I bleach the bones? And I guess the older brother was, like, sedentary lifestyle, not ambitious, not doing anything. And so he saw it as, like, well, he's interested in something. So he helped show him how to, like, clean the bones, and they bleach the bones and, like, put them in the oven or something. And that's when he's, like, at – whatever.
Sounds like this guy should have been like a doctor, an autopsy guy, like some sort of like.
Yeah, why didn't he get a job show at the morgue and just bang all the bodies or
what's
something?
What's the show? What are they called? Anthropologists? Were they
forensic anthropologists?
Yeah, forensic anthropologists. Like that seems like
chocolate
something
mixer. Sandwich shop.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Yeah. No, that's not it.
I mean, he's a phlebotomist at one point. He does some stuff that has to do with blood, but he should have tried harder and got something that was like, even a job at the morgue being the janitor, he could have banged the night away.
Right.
You know what I mean? No one would have known. He could have been the Goodwill Hunting of the morgue.
He could have banged the night away at the morgue.
Yeah.
Just like somebody's grandpa the next day, they have the open casket, just unknowing that he got fucked to death after death. Just like,
oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Grandpa Solomon, he looks so peaceful.
Solomon.
He's got a bruise.
Biblical over there.
I didn't think you get a bruise on your forehead after you're dead.
My go-to Smith. You pulled out Solomon. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I don't know. It was there.
Okay, chicken bones. I'm moving.
So the other thing is, so apparently after his parents got a divorce, he also turned to the bottle and he was a prolific drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was
in class.
Yeah. He was drunk through high school. He would get kicked out of school all the time for being drunk.
He'd sneak bottles in the lining of his jacket, keep it in his locker. There's even a story about him drinking gin straight out of a fucking cup in the middle of class.
Yep.
And then other students asked him and he just said, it's my medicine. That was his answer.
Well, that's what the girl mom used to say too.
Yeah. That's what you call it, Brent. I mean, this really got me. I mean, this whole thing reading about Jeffrey Dahmer and watching things, I really got worried about Brent. I mean, his drinking habits, his homosexuality. I mean, it's really gotten me worried.
He does have a pretty plush basement down here.
He does. He does. And it has a foul smell at times.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Don't fuck with that blue barrel and the muriatic acids to clean the bricks. Yeah.
I'm wondering what's going through the pipes. Like that's why the toilet flush is so slow.
So Dahmer ended up drinking his way out of college. He got into college and drank so much that he ended up dropping out. His father, who had recently remarried, basically said, get the fuck out of here. Go join the army because I'm not going to take care of you anymore. So he did join the army and he got assigned to a military base in Germany where he got a dishonorable discharge for drinking too much. So he was, and I have to wonder, was he drinking to compensate? Was he like feeling these fucking fucked up murderous impulses? And if he stayed drunk, he stayed numb.
It was pretty much, I mean, at the age of 14, I know we had talked about some of that stuff. His first tribe was he was going to club a jogger.
Yeah,
because he just wanted to lay next to him.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Yeah, so
he skipped a few.
So the plan was to club the jogger. He wasn't going to kill him. He was just going to knock him out.
Had a baseball bat and actually went and hid in the bushes.
But by the way, it is hard to study him without skipping shit because every time you read a biography, it tries to just outline like his life. Everything, and then like he went to the university and then he went here and then he joined the army. But meanwhile, in that time, he's already killed three people.
Yeah.
But the biography just tries to outlay his life and then later talk about the murders. And it's hard. You always end up skipping past. And you're like, wait a minute. That means he would have killed him when he was doing this.
Well, his parents get divorced when he's like fucking 18. He gets caught like drinking near campus. A teacher approaches him. He tells the counselor, I'm having trouble at home. Graduates. He's living by himself because mom took off. Dad's living in a hotel with some new estranged fiance or something. And then he fucking like kills someone in the house right away. Like 3 weeks after graduation.
Yeah, when he was 18.
He lives with his grandma. Yeah.
Not yet.
That's living in his parents' house.
Oh, okay.
And when they split up, she took off and then dad was still living in a hotel, didn't know mom left, and he just stayed there because he was 18.
So is that the one where he got the 13-year-old then?
No.
His
first murder was a guy named Stephen Hicks. Mm-hmm. And
second murder was the 13-year-old.
No, he never.
Or the boy that got away. What was the boy that got away?
That was later. That was like the fifth murder.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. He already had a streak going by the time
I'm confused.
There.
I can't tell femur from femur.
But even in high school, he started to like mix up the whole like cutting stuff up dissection thing that he had with animals with his sexuality when he first became like aroused, when he first went through puberty and found out he was homosexual. Then he started getting it all fucking mixed up in his head because his first thing of arousal was like he was really into cutting up animals. Like he was so into cutting up animals. As soon as like the sex thing came in, shit just got mixed up.
Right.
And the energies fucking intertwined.
Yeah.
He crossed the streams. He can't cross
the streams. He did cross streams. So in 1978, and this was 9 years before his second murder, he ends up killing Steve Hicks. He's a hitchhiker and he picks him up, takes him home to his parents' house, gets him drunk, and then kills him by hitting him with a 10-pound barbell and strangling him. And then
with the barbell, he takes it and puts the center of the barbell over his fucking neck and pushes the weights to the floor.
That is ironic. That is ironic.
Why? That's how you killed your first?
No, that's how he got killed with a barbell.
A bar
from the gym. From the gym.
Yeah,
metal bar circle. From the barbell.
Comes full circle, bitch.
Anyway,
spoiler.
He dismembers the body. Buries it in the backyard, and then later on he dug up the bones and broke them with a hammer and scattered them in the woods just so that he wouldn't get caught. But he kept the skull.
Yep.
Oh, like even when he was arrested, you know, fucking 20 years later, he still had Stephen Hicks's skull.
Would it be crazy to like go over to his house and he has like the skulls painted like it's Halloween party? And like you're like, wow, these look real.
You wouldn't think anything of it.
Yeah, you'd be like, wow, this is crazy. Like your house is decorated awesome. You have these skeletons and stuff.
You skipped
like,
a vital really part cool. though.
What's that?
Why you keep telling you skip stuff? Just let's go. This part's roll not, with it.
No, this part you got to hear.
This came after. Go.
When he hit him with the dumbbell and strangled him, as soon as he had finished killing him, he pulled all of Hicks' clothes off and then just stood over him and jerked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't skip that part. Jeez, he just jerked off over his dead body.
I didn't skip it. I just didn't.
Then he buried him, dug him back up, stripped the bones, smashed him, like you said, spread him in the woods, and flushed the acid fucking flesh mixture down the toilet. So he flushed Hicks down the toilet. And then kept the skull for later.
And everybody,
for later visual stimulation to jerk
and this
off.
and this goes
Fuck.
On. And, well, and the flushing of the flushing of the acid and everything with the human waste in it goes along the lines of his entire
that's his
entire MO. Spree.
Right.
And everybody was worried about a bloody tampon, HIV infected tampon. Well, these people were drinking bodies.
Right.
So,
getting flushed.
Acid kills AIDS, and there wasn't AIDS yet because nobody bit a monkey or tried to kill Africa.
Because that was in
AIDS.
78.
Yeah.
So
Jenny had AIDS from Forrest Gump. Dave wouldn't know. He's never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Mm, that's weird.
Why is that weird?
You never saw Forrest Gump? That's probably not weird.
I don't know.
No, I'm getting judged.
No,
just keep moving. You're making it awkward.
I think you're judging yourself.
I'm gonna turn to drinking.
Too late.
Anybody have a frog I can kill?
Anybody have a cousin they don't like?
So shortly after this becomes the grandmother years. So when he gets out of the army, he ends up moving in with his grandmother because I mean, the writing on the wall is that his dad was like, this fucking weirdo's not coming back to live with me. Like, yeah. I mean, because he just did weird shit all the time. So he moves in with his grandmother. And the whole time he's still like, he was dissecting dead squirrels in the basement and dissolving them with chemicals, like of his grandmother's house, like still experimenting with animals and all this stuff. And this is like at the grandma's.
He was actively seeking work though and like and doing chores and shit, but he never quit drinking and secretly was doing creepy shit. But yeah, as far as grandma was concerned, he was trying.
I mean, right, really, what's right, creepy shit? I mean, everybody's got weird tendencies, right?
Well, in 1982 and 1986, he was arrested for indecent exposure and he masturbated in front of children.
That's not creepy. That's just fucked up.
Yeah. And the thing that's more fucked up is that he masturbates in front of children and the penalty is he gets a year of probation.
A lot of this shit was like,
it was like 50 bucks
was the fine. Like, oh, you showed your dick to 30 people at a concert.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, 50 bucks.
Yeah. He just kept exposing himself, masturbating in front of children, all kinds of shit and kept getting pinched for it. And then fucking,
well, he got the one. That's why I was talking about the little 13-year-old that he found on the street, convinced him to come into the apartment and groped him,
right?
And then he got away and he got like the lightest sentence ever. Like, it's like, are you serious? Like, he's a molester?
Yeah, for that one.
Fucking Chester over here.
That, like, yeah, he
I was gonna say Hector
barely gets any punishment for that. But his second murder is in 87, 9 years after the first one. He still lives with grandma. He ends up picking up a guy named Steve Tuomi. They go into a hotel and drink. And apparently Dahmer says that he woke up and Tuomi was dead and he doesn't remember that. I think that's why he says he was that drunk. One was an accident.
Yeah, he was
like,
drunk.
He doesn't remember. Gorilla like crushed his chest apparently. Like he beat his chest in. Yeah. While he was asleep.
Christ.
Yeah. Like, I picture this like gorilla chimpanzee fucking attack. You know what I mean?
You're a heavy sleeper.
Yeah. When you drink a glass of wine with six sleeping pills in it that you didn't know was there.
Wake up. So, and then he buys a large suitcase to transport his body to his grandmother's basement where he dismembered and masturbated on the corpse before disposing of the remains.
Well, you have to.
It'd be a waste if you didn't.
Well,
I mean, you have to.
Already here.
Yeah. That or a towel.
I mean,
you know what I mean? What are you going to do?
I mean,
you got to clean up somehow. If you got a baseball mitt and you got a fucking body, you know, the body's warm.
Like, you wake up. Oh, slippery. Shit. I accidentally killed the guy I had sex with last night.
The body's not warm. He's been dead for 12 hours.
Yeah. Just wake up in the morning, killed a guy, didn't remember it, brought him home to dismember the body. But real quick, just let me rub one out.
Let me rub one out. Yeah. I mean, it's appropriate. It's like the 21 gun salute.
How is it like the 21 gun salute?
You know, just letting off shots, you know, just saluting the guy.
What you do.
He didn't mean to, casualty of murder.
So his third and fourth kill were still when he was at grandma's house. And again, he would drug their booze. He would strangle them. He would have sex with them. He would masturbate on their corpses. And then at this point, he starts taking.
He wouldn't just have sex with them. He would keep a motherfucker
for a week
and just repeatedly.
Yeah.
Repeatedly go at it.
Yeah. And I mean, put him in weird positions and take pictures of him. Yeah. You see, he stole a mannequin while he was living at grandma's house.
Yeah, he had a mannequin in his room.
Yeah, a male mannequin.
If they would have had real sex dolls back then, he would have been fucking fine.
Well, this is where they got the idea from.
Probably.
Was Dahmer.
That's what's gross about those. Yeah, they're laying way too still.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till they move.
Yeah, and you could buy... The other gross thing is you could buy used ones.
That's kind of gnarly.
Well, fuck, what are you going to do? Pay $3,000? $8,000 a deal.
You can get one for
I made those prices up off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And this is where he starts taking Polaroids, right? At this point, he starts taking... Which become part of the undoing, but he starts taking Polaroids of various stages of the murder, like right when they're freshly dead.
Probably while they're sleeping. Mid-dismemberment.
While they're sleeping, while they're like naked and dead, naked and alive, he starts taking Polaroids.
But
the
Polaroids actually help him though, because he picks up one guy off the, I think he got him from a club or whatever, or he might have got him from the street, but it's the brother. No, it was from the street. He was the brother of the one kid that he actually molested, that he fondled.
No, we'll get there. We'll get to that guy.
You know,
this is fucking crazy. Because that shit's crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
You did skip one little one. He tried to dig up an 18-year-old in like 1986.
He tried to dig him up?
Yeah, he saw the newspaper that an 18-year-old boy died, and he's like, oh, I could just go dig him back up. But the dirt was too...
Oh, he was doing some Ed Gein shit.
Yeah, he tried to go dig up the grave, and then he couldn't do it because the dirt was too hard, he said, and he gave up on that. And then that's after he met that Taomi guy.
Why wouldn't you get the job in the morgue though? Like I
that's what I was saying.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bang like the night away.
You would think, yeah.
So
I mean, just put some soft music on and
bang ring. Yep.
So eventually the booze and the dead animals and the strange behavior and the male mannequin that he would dress up in the closet and all this shit.
And she said the garage stunk and his room stunk.
Or yes. The basement. Yes. Yeah.
So his grandmother is like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But he's still one of those. I think the fourth kill might have been the fifth. I think the fourth kill. No, it was the fifth kill. I'm sorry. He moves to an apartment really close to his job at the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory.
Wonder if he was disposing of some shit there.
Maybe. But one day after. Said. Yeah, we'll just dump him in the chocolate van.
Ah, man.
One day after moving out. One day. He moves out, gets his apartment, and that's the day he gets arrested for sexual assault and sexual exploitation of a 13-year-old Laotian boy. And then he was immediately out on bail. Before the trial, he's out on bail. Trial doesn't even happen yet, and that's when he kills his
10 days
victim.
10 days before 10 days before he goes to jail, actually. That's when he hits, right?
That's when he killed the other guy. Yeah. So he kills his fifth victim, Anthony Sears. And again, this is in his grandmother's basement, which is weird. It's like he's got his apartment, but he ends up luring this guy back to grandma's house and kills him in the basement and does all the shit in the basement. Maybe he doesn't have the setup in the apartment. He just moved in.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't had a chance to make a target run yet. He hasn't.
He wasn't ready for the moving in.
Grandma's suspicions are, though, it's probably nothing fucking even close to that. She's like, oh, he's just drinking and I don't know what he's doing.
A mannequin in the room.
Yeah, there's a mannequin, yeah,
probably
squirrel,
smoking marijuana.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Not that there's people being filleted in the basement.
No,
shit.
I doubt that. I doubt he thinks that. I doubt she thought that Anthony Sears, aspiring mayor model, was drug strangled, sodomized, photographed, dismembered, and disposed of in her basement.
Grandma's not.
I wonder if they ate like the left flank. Like, you know, he cooked grandma a nice steak for dinner.
Oh, he brings home, like, he goes like the butcher, gets the paper and shit.
Hannibal Lecter on her ass.
I don't know. He said in one of the interviews that it was really hard to eat some of the bodies because it was literally hard to eat the bodies. Like certain muscles were too tough to eat.
Yeah.
So you had to sort of discover which parts to eat and not to eat because some of the human body is too tough to, I guess if he knew more, he would have done a more thorough marinade
it's kind of funny when he was
a little more tenderizing.
Yeah. But when he was in his apartment, you know, like people who lived by him said that like a foul odor always was coming out.
Yeah.
And they said that it was weird because they didn't know what he was cooking in his house because he never went to the grocery store. Like he never brought home groceries.
Ugh.
So like, but he was cooking and they said it smelled like chitlins.
That's not true.
That's what they said because chitlins put off the people that lived in the apartments around him.
I didn't read that. I just saw that there was complaints of smells, and when the management went to him, he said his freezer broke and some food spoiled, and then it happened again, and he said he had some tropical fish die. He just kept getting weird. Oh, my fish died. I'm sorry. Meanwhile,
his name was Jerome.
His name was Anthony Sears. My poor fish.
My poor Anthony Sears. Tropical fish.
So he does end up getting prison time for the sexual assault on the 13-year-old Laotian boy. Laotian.
Apparently, in the Air America episode, that's just the Hmong, not the Hmong.
Yeah, don't do some fucking troll on the internet to tell us how to talk. Fuck off! It's fucking Hmong. Piece of shit.
Someone pointed it out.
Fuck you.
I was like, usually we do it on purpose to be funny. That one weird.
Yeah, no. It's one thing Brent fucking correcting everybody when they do something wrong. It's another thing when you fucking trolls on the internet want to get on there and be fucking keyboard warriors. Like, just shut up.
That really fired Brad up.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Shut the funk up.
So he ends up doing prison time for this. Apparently his
father. Was it like a year though?
It wasn't even that. His father, Lionel Dahmer, wrote a letter to the court and said that he requested, instead of a hefty prison sentence, he said, my son like desperately needs psychological help.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think I don't think his dad knew exactly. I mean, I don't think he knew what his son was doing, but he knew his son was fucked up, and he ended up basically writing and saying, please, Your Honor, force, like as part of your punishment,
somewhere
he needs help. Yeah. So the idea was he gave him a one-year sentence where he had like some work release where all day
he was out.
He would go to the chocolate factory all day, and then he would go and get basically locked up again at night.
Yeah, it was like a prison housing. It was really weird.
Something like
that. Yeah, so it was like, at night he would go in, probably at a curfew, 8 o'clock
or something. Halfway house.
Well, it was like a prison, though. It was like locked down.
Yeah, it was still full lockdown.
But so they would, so he would have to go sleep in there at night, but then he was out all day. So,
but apparently he was so, like, he was a model prisoner, and like, he went to therapy all the time. He was making progress. Yeah. So the judge ended up letting him out after 10 months instead of 12 months.
The psychiatrist wrote a letter to the judge saying, like, no, he needs help. Like, he's not fit to be in society right yet. And the judge is like, no, let him out.
Let him out.
Yep.
Bounce.
He looks good to me.
Yeah. So he, at that point, he's registered as a sex offender. He's out. And then.
Meanwhile, some dude that smoked a joint in the park's fucking still in jail, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he ends up getting another apartment, and this is where just the mass onslaught begins. Like, this is where the true gruesomeness.
When he moves to pretty much Section 8 housing now, I guess, if you have Section 8 where you live, but low income housing. And I think he does it on purpose, though, because he's able to lure people and kind of can be dirty if he wants to.
And so I think he moved into a predominantly African-American neighborhood. And I think he had jungle fever.
Yeah. I mean, once you go black, you don't go back.
Well, if you're going to make keychains, you got to make big keychains.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So he had, he loved him some chocolate. That's why he worked there. But
why he needed the 55 gallon drums to dispose of the giant dicks.
He could hide the black people in the chocolate and you couldn't tell. That's what it was.
He worked at a chocolate factory. And loved chocolate men.
I don't know why it's so, like, I don't know why it's so, like, on top of everything else, like, just the icing on the cake of how disturbing this is the fact that he worked at a chocolate factory. I don't know why that makes it 1,000 times more disturbing.
Because you think of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, it's just so fucking disturbing to me.
Little kids. Oh. I just think it's funny, like, he chocolate factory and liked black men. That's great.
So
sexual chocolate, baby.
At this
point,
he just starts killing folks, right? And he gets onto a pattern and kills more and more people. And some of them are like male models who are willing to pose nude for money.
They're good looking men.
He's going to pay them the money and bring them back. He meets a lot of them at gay clubs. A lot of them, he used to go to gay bathhouses and try to pick people up.
You talk about return on investment, though. Like, you pay these guys 50 or 100 bucks or 200 bucks and you get your money back.
Yeah, he did.
It's great. Yeah. This is awesome.
So, he's,
you want Anthony Sears?
What? We already killed him.
Yeah, we already killed him.
Well, he kept his dick. You forgot to say that.
That's the first
time. I didn't
forget
to say that. I would have never forgot to say that. That never made it onto my notes.
That's the first time he decided to keep something.
I definitely would have brought that
because
up.
Because he found him extremely attractive, he actually kept some of him. He kept his head and his genitalia in acetone in his work locker at the chocolate factory.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you can't skip that.
Yeah. Well, he shaped the dick like a rainbow and painted it. Yeah.
So impressive. Like, you can make a rainbow out of it. Yeah.
Fuck. He's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
And can you imagine you're talking to him like, hey, man, you working tomorrow? No, I'm off. And he's like, open his locker, getting his jacket.
Yeah.
No, fucking acetone cock just falls on the ground. You're like, what the fuck is that? Oh, nothing. Yeah. Jesus. And there's a head in there, too.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. So, at this point he starts I don't even know where to go next. Like, there's so much fucked up shit at this point. It just starts to part of it, I'll go with this. So at this point he starts to develop his pattern, right? So his pattern becomes pick up somebody, lure them back for sex or bring them back, to do photography, get them to drink drugged wine. They pass out. He fucking whack-a-moles all over them, kills them, chops them up, fucking does all his nasty shit, handcuffs them, drugs them and leaves them. Like, he'll drug them and, like, go out for drinks and come back, like, all this shit. And at this point, again, this idea of him having control, one of the things he starts to do, and I was like, okay, there's a line and he crossed it. Up until this point, he hadn't crossed some sort of a line. But part of what he did is he wanted to make people into sex zombies. Mm-hmm. So he would drill holes in their head And while they were drugged and zonked out, he would drill holes in their head and he would pour in muriatic acid, hydrochloric acid, or boiling water,
right?
Hoping that it, would,
their brain up.
That it would fuck their brain up and just make them still and docile so that
so they'd
they
still
would
be alive.
He basically wanted them alive but brain dead so he could just feed them and have sex with them. It never quite worked out.
Now again,
because he was drilling holes in their fucking head and pouring acid in their brain.
The first dude woke up though and said, "Damn, my head hurts. Where am I?" Yeah. Like that fucking, he drilled a hole, put acid on his brain.
Yeah.
That says a lot as far as like what your body can take. Yeah. Like that motherfucker woke up, said he had a headache, and asked where he was.
Let's talk about the brother, because did we pass that or are you getting
we're getting up to that. So at this point, this is some like we've talked about some,
did you see the one where he drank his own wine on accident?
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that. Don't skip that.
He doctor took his own medicine.
He took some guy home and then he fucking accidentally drank the wrong wine and he fell asleep and the dude fucking robbed him for $300 worth of clothing and a watch. And then he couldn't call the cops or anything. He finally told like his counselor or something that he had been robbed, but he just let it go. Like, but he got robbed.
So I'm having to wonder, like, so the dude ends up, this guy gets fucking zonked out on the zombie juice. And then like, do you look around the house and see the fucking Polaroids and like the dead penis jars and you just fucking peace out? Like,
but he grabbed his watch and some shit. Yeah. Cause he had to look around and be like, what is there to steal? And he had to fucking see some shit.
Fuck.
Got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, that guy dodged a fucking bullet. So we've talked about before about serial killers and killers before who like have like their weird fucking Jedi mind trick moment where it's like, how the fuck did this happen? Right. Yeah. And this gets into
how did they not catch this guy?
Right. At this point, this is where this starts to happen. So on May 27th, 1991, Dahmer's neighbor, a woman named Sandra Smith, calls the police to report that there is an Asian boy running naked in the street. Right. He looks like he's been beaten.
Yeah.
The cops show up. The boy is completely incoherent and they start to stop him. So Dahmer rolls up.
Yeah. Cause he went out for drinks.
Right.
He drugged him and then he went out.
He goes out to get some beers.
Yep.
And
comes back and the police are there.
And he had drilled the hole and injected acid on this kid's frontal lobe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was getting to that part. No. Because that was why the kid was running around the streets naked and incoherent because he had just had holes drilled in his head and he had fucking acid in his brain.
And he has a drug. So he's got
drugged.
Some time. I'm going to have some beers. I'll come back and do this later.
Yep. So he's running through the street. The cops have him. Dahmer rolls back up to his fucking block and just like a fucking baller rolls up to the cops and says, he's not underage. He looks really young. He's 19. He's my boyfriend. Let me take him home.
No, he takes the cops to his apartment.
And shows them Polaroids.
Shows them Polaroids.
That like, he just took that kid in his underwear.
We're hanging out. Yeah, we're hanging out. This is us. We're having sex, taking pictures and stuff. And they're like, oh, okay. They take off.
And three women that actually called the cops were still there trying to raise fucking hell, saying, no, this is not okay. This guy's young. Something's wrong. He's
not acting right. He's from the neighborhood.
Like, you need to do something. Yeah. And the cops told him, shut your mouth. It's stay out of it. Dispute. This is a domestic dispute.
But the other thing is the cops, like, later on, basically admitted that they were just so uncomfortable about the whole arrangement and the gay, you know, the homosexuality, the photos of them having sex, that they just wanted to fucking close the door and walk away.
Yeah, they're trying to get the fuck out of
here. They didn't want anything to fucking do with this
shit. They had an hour left on their shift.
Yeah, exactly.
If they had just checked his fucking ID, his criminal record would have come up, pedophile, they would have fucking saved him.
Yep, and they would have, you know. Or
they even went in the fucking house and noticed the smell or something for a second, but they were just like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't know what gay sex smelled like.
So
it smells like Badoosie without the Oosie.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
No.
Badoosie?
It's butt, dick, ass, and pussy, but there was no Oosie in that one.
Jesus Christ.
Brad's face is awesome right now.
Dave
makes me laugh.
The 14-year-old, whose name is Conorak Synthasomphone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh. What the fuck kind of name? His parents had holes drilled in
their
head.
A Hmong name.
Is it a Hmong? Okay, they're from Hmong.
I thought it was a futuristic alien communication device.
I know, a fucking a symphostic phone. The fuck is that?
I'm pretty sure Kurzweil made this thing. Yeah. Whatever.
I need my Conorak synthesamophone.
I think it's shiny and has blue lights.
How many black keys does it have on it? A simulacrum phone.
Okay, so
if you find one, don't press the red button.
Yeah. So he ends up taking the boy back in. And again, at this time in his house, I might be wrong on this one. I think in either in the bathtub or in his bed, the body of Tony Hughes, who was victim number 12, was currently just laying dead in the apartment.
He's just a number.
So if the cops had actually gone in and done more than just a peace out, I'm out of here, they would have found a fucking dead body in the other
room.
Yeah,
they could have got past the Medusa smell.
And the kid was bleeding from his ass, and the cops just gave him like a towel to wrap around him and said, walk him home.
Yeah. So
here's a hot towel.
So long story short, more acid in the brain, chops his head off, puts it in the freezer, calls it a day. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, what else is there to do?
And again, this guy was the 14-year-old brother of the person that was 13 years ago that he had molested and went to jail for.
Yeah. I saw that weird connection. I was like, how did he fucking fall for that shit?
Same neighborhood.
So they must have known each other. Yeah. Like, again, Jedi mind trick. He fucking Jedi mind tricks this fucking kid into his house. Jedi mind tricks the cops into fucking.
He's like, you're Jeffrey Dahmer, the guy who molested my brother. And he's like, No.
$50.
I'm Bill Jenkins.
$50, you just can't say no, just apparently. Like, what about 50 bucks? Well, yeah, I know you molested my brother, but. Damn.
91, $50, you know.
Yeah. You could have got some British Knights. The New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, all that
no,
shit.
Tape.
All
tape,
that shit, yeah. So that was in May of 91. And then...
this is, I mean, you could almost safely say that like the Jeffrey Dahmer era is the safe to be woman times. Like, you're good if you're a woman.
Yeah.
Like, he's only killing fucking men.
Yeah, he's only killing
and children.
Men. And most of the men were like borderline criminal. Some of them, like, he didn't pick like reputable people. Or you know, he tried to pick a lot of people who weren't going to be as noticed if they went missing.
Yeah, that or the cops would give a shit about.
Right.
You know, he lives in a predominantly black area. It's poor, the ghetto. You know what I mean? Of Milwaukee, and he's picking up these gay men who have questionable backgrounds. So the cops are just going to be like, "Eh, fuck it."
Right.
You know, like that guy was a piece of shit anyway.
Right.
So
they just ignore it and go on about their Milwaukee way.
I mean. And you question whether he was sane or not. I would say that's a fucking, it's about as sane as you can get.
Well,
you know, I mean,
he had a
evil
had
is a one thing. Sane is different, you know,
that's true. So then in July of 91, is when, two police officers picked up a guy named Tracy Edwards, 32-year-old African-American who was wandering in the streets with a handcuff dangling from his wrist. And he claims that a quote, weird dude, had him in his apartment and threatened him with a knife. So they end up following up, going back to Dahmer's apartment. And when they go in, he says, he said the knife was in the bathroom or in the bedroom.
It was under the bed. But the horrifying part is the 5 hours that motherfucker was in the house before he ran away and found the police with the handcuffs on.
So break that down.
He fucking lures that guy back or whatever, and then shit gets weird pretty quick. He tries to put the handcuffs on him, gets one wrist, tries to put the other one on. He's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? What are we doing? And he's like, oh, maybe the guy's just kinky and he's trying to do this or trying to do that, but he could smell the smell. I think, he saw the 50-gallon drum in the corner. He starts to panic. Dahmer has a knife and puts his ear to the guy's chest and then can hear it, his heart beating, and tells him he's going to eat his heart later. He fucking tells the guy he's going to eat his heart. And the guy's like, whoa, we're friends. I'm not going to run away. It's okay. He knows like, I am in deep fucking shit.
Yeah, don't handcuff me to
anything. He starts to develop a plan. Like, I'm either going to jump out that fucking window or I think the door, he didn't lock the door. If I can somehow get, when he's distracted, get away. And so at some point, like it took 5 hours for the opportunity to present itself though. They were like sitting on the couch and Dahmer wasn't paying total attention. His focus broke and he fucking bolted for the door.
He's probably getting drunk at the
time. Handcuffs on and fucking ran out, found the cops. They tried to open the handcuffs. Their keys didn't work. So he takes them back and Dahmer's like, handcuffed him with no explanation. And then they come in the fucking apartment and he's like, the cop finds the knife under the bed and then they see the fucking drum and it stinks. And
they start, and then they do, apparently the cops say the main thing that they saw that really made him go, oh fuck, and not just arrest the guy, but fucking break the place down, was they found the Polaroids.
They opened the top dresser drawer because he saw a picture like sticking out or something. And he's like, what the fuck? It was body parts. It was people like fucking dead, bent upside down, bent over. Like there's a couple pictures. Like when you're trying to just look for articles, the images are there.
Oh, God,
I was trying to find the browser and be like, damn, don't show images. Like, to look at this shit without seeing the shit.
And the thing is, the cop who opened the drawer and saw the pictures reported that he got freaked out because some other male in the bedroom screamed in terror right when he opened up the drawer and saw the pictures.
Or the freezer.
Yeah.
But the cop freaked out because when he opened the drawer, saw the pictures, a male screamed in terror in the room. And later on, when he was asking his partner, where did that scream come from? And the partner was like, what are you talking about? And they was like, I heard a scream when I was in the bedroom. And they were like, yeah, because you screamed when you, like, he saw them freaked out, screamed
and scared himself
and was so disassociated by what he saw that he didn't realize he was the one who was screaming in terror.
Fuck, I did not read
the photos.
That.
Oh,
that's
Jesus
one Polaroid.
Christ.
I'm not looking.
Okay. Fucking bent over.
Oh my God.
No head. Oh my
Holy
God. That's insane.
Jesus. Thank you for that, Brad.
You're welcome.
See, that's why I don't watch movies.
The
like
fucking
that.
Guy's head's Christ. Cut off and he's doing like a back bend.
Oh,
with his arms
God.
Posed. Like,
it's horrible.
I mean, it's
dude.
Beautiful
it
art.
Horrible.
It's beautiful.
Brad, you watch Faces of Death, right?
Yeah,
of course. And laughed at it or something, right?
I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah. Just wanted to point that out. Yeah. I just, my friends would watch that shit when we were like in the eighth grade and just laugh. And
yeah,
I was
I
like,
had no desire.
I don't understand
why
you
guys are
laughing.
Some of the stuff's funny.
I don't think so, dude. Funny.
So, okay. So at this point, like, we can go back. Like, let's just do a highlight reel. Okay. Of some of Dahmer's, because at this point I was like, okay, so what all did he have? So once they started to search, they found heads in the refrigerator, heads in the freezer, which you can find photographs of, but I don't recommend it. Preserved skulls, jars with genitalia, all the photographs. They started to find evidence. A guy named Raymond Smith, who was killed in 1990, was a male prostitute. His skull was spray painted and kept as a trophy. Ernest Miller was a male dancer. He was killed in 1990. Dahmer stored his entire skeleton in the bottom drawer of a filing cabinet and kept his heart, biceps, and portions of his legs in the freezer for later consumption.
Oh, yeah. His ultimate goal was to build an altar of some sort.
Yeah, he was working on an altar. David Thomas, who was also killed in 90, was lured to the apartment for money to pose nude. And there were tons of photos of his dismemberment process.
That's also when Wendy's had to change ownership because he finally.
Because of Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas, had to go to Wendy.
Frosty's.
Yeah, Wendy inherited the entire franchise at that point.
Frosty's were different back then. Curtis Strauger, he kept his skull, hands, and genitals. Errol Lindsay was one of the first. He was the first one that had holes drilled in his skull and acid injected in his brain. And later on, when Dahmer was talking about it, said that he woke up, you know, handcuffed with the holes drilled, was freaking out. So Dahmer had to strangle him to death. Dahmer flayed Lindsay's body, kept the skin for several weeks, and his skull was part of the altar of skulls and bones that he was making that he was going to hang on the wall of his apartment. And he had a 57-gallon blue drum. I remember this from when he got arrested. I remember footage of the FBI hauling this drum out, and it's all covered in gray tape. And, like, they're all, like, in, like, they're in not much. It's just, like, guy in an FBI windbreaker with rubber gloves on with a dolly wheeling this barrel out. But apparently that was his torso barrel.
Ugh.
So that was where he kept
the torsos.
I know,
it kept saying, like, because we skipped a lot of the weird things he would try to do. He was very experimental. Like, he kept everyone's skull, and he always boiled it in something called Soilex, which is some industrial detergent. I looked it up, and he would bleach them. And then he would keep the skull for roughly, like, 2 to 3 months for masturbatory stimulation. So basically, that was his hustler, his playboy. Oh, yeah. He would look at that to jerk off later. And then he would
the
find
skull.
The skull.
Yeah.
So he would, that's the part he really kept.
Or he'd give the skull just the tip.
Yes, just the tip.
Jesus Christ.
And then the skin that he filleted, he kept that in a cold iced salt bath because he thought maybe he could preserve the skin, but it became too brittle and he threw it away. But that was he had this regimen.
Like you do.
Yeah. And then he tried like putting the bones in the freezer to see if the moisture would come out. And then he tried putting them in the oven to see if he could somehow bake the moisture out. And he was trying to learn how to cure them so that he could keep stuff longer, mostly unsuccessful. And then he would just end up making them into dust or whatever, sledgehammer, and throw them away. But what he really kept
this
for a long
was like
time
the serial killer Gallagher
was the hammer. Yeah. Oh. So yeah, there was a whole process that he went through of honing that method that he got to. And he said if they hadn't caught him with, if he had just 6 more months, the altar would have been complete and he felt that he could have drawn power from it or some weird shit. You're like, what the fuck is
Jesus
going on?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah.
There was like a list of materials he needed. Part of it was a black shower curtain, a blue lamp, six skulls. Like he had a very specific list of things he wanted for that.
To make the altar?
For the altar, yeah. A black shower curtain. Like he had a fucking like the Walmart list. He's like, I'm going to need a blue lamp, a black shower curtain. I've got five skulls. I need to find a Laotian boy.
Need a sixth one. Laotians just have the perfectly round skulls that I need.
He's all on the way to Walmart. There's the gay bar. I can probably pick that up along the way.
Yeah, we'll get that on the way.
I need Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's femur.
Another 6 months right on target.
But it was like a masturbatorium though. Like he was getting the shower curtain was like the entrance.
It was easy clean.
Like he could
he
could go in there and masturbate on the skulls. Like stand in there because the skulls were like he would keep them so he could stimulate himself. That would be the altar. Like you would go in there and stimulate himself. It'd be like a fucking stimulating shower where you just be able to masturbate.
Ass men, masturbate some guys like tits, you know.
Masturbate the day away.
I'm a skull man.
Skull man. That's
Yeah. So he ends up.
He just banged the night away.
He gets arrested. Cops end up.
I'm disappointed. I'm kind of angry. I think they should have allowed him to finish his altar because we need pictures. Of the altar.
No.
This is something we're missing.
We could buy the supplies that were listed and then get like Halloween skulls. There's probably some discounts at Rite Aid right now.
But you just don't know what, you don't know what he envisioned. You know, it'd be like trying to paint the Mona Lisa without it being already done.
Yeah, that's true.
He couldn't do it. Like we can't make the altar. Like, so he has to do it.
At court, he pleads not guilty, even though during just regular police interrogation, he confessed to every single murder by name and date.
Just to make shit fun. Let's drag this out.
But then in court, he says not guilty. The defense argues that he's guilty, but that he's insane. The jury calls bullshit and says that he was sane and it only took him 10 hours to deliberate. And he ends up getting sentenced to 957 years in prison since Wisconsin has no death penalty. So he ends up going into prison. And apparently a lot of the stuff indicates that he like has like a change of heart or something. He gets baptized. He finds religion.
Yeah.
He starts like writing these positive letters to his father.
Yeah. He was religious through his younger years with his grandmother and stuff. And then he tries to blame the killing on him being atheist. But then they said there was a lot of, he would blame a lot of it on the devil. So like he wasn't really atheist because if you're atheist, you don't believe in the devil. So, you know, he didn't really know what was going on.
Right.
But in prison, yeah, supposedly he found religion. He was going to go get baptized, you know, all this, you know, good stuff. He was a good man.
Well, it dawned on me. Like if part of this thing had something to do with like some pent up, like, if he wants to have homosexual sex and doesn't feel that he's able to do it in regular society, and this is part of his bizarre murder thing, maybe once he was in jail, he was like, finally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not joking either. I'm like, maybe that was why
they would bang him. Like, he's not going to bang anybody.
Maybe.
Like,
he didn't have the dominance. Yeah, no, they said in prison he didn't have the dominance. He wasn't able.
He wants you to keep still or he can't get hard.
Well, I guess that's true. That's true.
He didn't have the dominance.
But, I mean, they put him in protective custody because he was just fucking all over the news. I mean, CNN.
Well, they called him JD. He had a nickname.
Right.
Yo, what's up, JD?
He petitioned to get into general population. Like, that was like, it was like his doing to get into
general. Toilets for 2 hours. Right. Like, that's why.
So he ends up getting put on a work duty with two other guys, a guy named Jesse Anderson and a guy named Christopher Scarver, who are also both convicted murderers. And they're left alone to complete their tasks on the work duty. And when the guards return, they find out that Scarver brutally beat both of them with a metal bar from the prison weight room and killed them. Dahmer died within the hour and Anderson died, I think, 24 hours later in the hospital.
Before that, Dahmer was stabbed with a shank.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, they tried to cut his throat and they just ended up nicking him.
Yeah, they didn't kill him. They got him, but they didn't kill him. He didn't go into protective custody. He was doing the work duty and then he got killed again. So.
And then they, and Scarver later on, like years later, like I think 2012, he finally gave an interview about killing Dahmer. And he said that he was disturbed by Dahmer's crimes and that he was all that.
Oh like, yeah.
He also said that
the guy who brutally beats two other inmates is disturbed by somebody's crimes.
But he said that, and I don't know how true this is, but he said that Dahmer, this is according to Scarver, Dahmer's murderer. He said that Dahmer would, take chicken bones and things like that from dinner and make sculptures out of them and like show them to other prisoners, and that it drove them all crazy.
Wow.
And that that was another thing that kept egging Scarver on to want to kill him.
Oh, he's making a miniature shrine.
Yeah. And I guess he said that he confronted the two of them, and Scarver claims that the guards, he claims that he is a murderer and a violent criminal, and that there was no reason he should have ever been left unsupervised with anyone.
Yeah.
Because the guards knew he was going to kill somebody.
But
he argues that that was why the guards let them alone, like left him with two horrible fucking murderers, because the guards ultimately wanted him to die. That was, I mean, the guy who fucking killed him even said, the guards know I'm going to kill a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have ever left
me alone. I can't not kill somebody. Right. Yeah.
So
I mean, I can't not do it.
Right. So he ends up getting killed by another guy who can't not kill people. Yeah.
He just kills for a different reason.
Two more life sentences. That's all they can do. They're like, well, we're gonna make you
stay. How stupid
here
is that?
Yeah. You're gonna stay here longer than you already.
Which brings up a good discussion of the 917 years or whatever the fuck that is. Why don't they just
957.
Why don't they just say you're gonna die?
You're gonna die in prison.
Because this is gonna come into play in the next episode too.
When you die in prison,
We need a name for that. Like, you're fucked. The judge is all, and you're fucked. Pop.
It should just be called a death sentence. Just like, life. Regardless whether you're penalty.
I think it's because judges know. It's like on appeals and all this stuff, it's like you can get this crime and this crime and this crime reduced so that like your sentence gets cut, so that your life sentence you're turns into 40 years.
But and if you you've said done your 40 without years. Without the chance of parole.
But it still happens. They end up being model prisoners. Some future judge in an appeal, a court changes or whatever says, no, we will give you parole. But I think when a judge is like, fuck it, 957 years, like you can do all the appeals you want to. We're going to knock out 50 years here, 20 years there, 30 years there. Your ass is still dying in prison. 957.
I just think we could come up with something better.
I think so.
And I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever, because taxpayers are paying for that shit.
Right.
So death penalty, this motherfucker killed
a lot of people get wrongfully imprisoned. If someone got the death penalty, you fucked up and killed somebody. Well, okay, I mean, it's so still Dahmer fucked up their life.
Dahmer was wrongfully imprisoned.
Well, I don't think
it's one of those things like if you, I mean, the death penalty is another possibly good show because it's so arguably, you know what I mean? There's two opposing sides.
Hell of a can of worms. Yeah, you know, it really is.
And I mean, I've argued with people about death penalty. They're like, well, what if you were wrongly in prison? I'm like, well, if I believe in a justice system that we have, if that's our justice system and I get imprisoned and I get the death penalty, I have so long to appeal it. And if not, I die. Like you have to go along with it. You know what I mean?
Like if you got fucked though, think if like 10 people decided to say Brad did it and I saw it,
it's,
you know,
I mean,
it's happened.
Yeah.
I mean, don't put yourself in that situation. You know what I mean? Like because they would have to be able to prove it, you know, so somebody would have to really fuck you.
Somebody accuses you of punching a baby.
The only people who actually set up proper, like frames are the government, you know what I mean? Government and big corporations and shit, you know, like
they can fucking Southern frames. Sheriffs and shit. Cause there's a whole lot of black motherfuckers on death row for shit they didn't do that. There was never any evidence that they did it. And then like years later, someone comes out and they're like, nope, guy never did
it. Well, the problem is don't be black.
Yeah. That's
the problem.
I mean, we do live in not safe to be black times part two.
Is it?
So, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't have any problem.
Yeah.
Brad's farm is black. So,
and then again, another thing, and this is something that we've seen with other serial killers, and I find this part fascinating because it tends to always happen. So in Milwaukee, a group of local businessmen raised more than $400,000 to purchase all the items he used for his victims: saw blades, saws, handcuffs, the refrigerator. They bought every single thing that could be bought that Jeffrey Dahmer had so that they could destroy it.
Somebody was selling it.
They
it was all for sale.
They didn't
spent $400,000.
They said they were going to destroy it. They did not fucking destroy
it. But it's that same sentiment. It's like when they fucking find the fucking nipple belt fucking palace, they burn it to the ground. It's like right. You always see the local community wants to burn the murder house to the ground, wants to get rid of the car. Well, like they don't even want it in their neighborhood.
Yeah, because they're selling tickets, you know?
I had the same exact thought that Brad had, though, that these businessmen were like secretly putting it in their Masonic temple and masturbating over the saw blades.
Think about it. You know? That's like somebody buying mob stuff and then destroying it. No, they put it in a fucking museum. People go and look at that shit. Oh no, that's the Tommy gun that fucking Lucky Marciano used. You know what I mean? Or that's the fucking zoot suit that so-and-so wore. They're not getting rid of that
shit. Well, someone spent $400,000 and all of that shit is off the market. And then a bunch of businessmen claimed it was destroyed.
Yeah,
it wasn't destroyed.
So it's
one person kept put $100,000.
The key word there is businessmen.
Yeah.
They fucking kept it.
I'm not sure.
What it's out there.
Brad is heated about that. He's real worried about them having it still.
I want it. God damn it.
I was like, this is weird. Why is Brad so heated about this?
Fucking upset. Should be able to buy that shit.
Is it so safe? Yeah, is it safe to be sponsor times yet?
Final thoughts on Jeffrey Dahmer.
I fucking hate these episodes. You know what? People love them. I fucking hate
these. The only thing that Dahmer really fucked up on was he didn't sprinkle a little bit of El Yucateco on the parts.
Oh, Jesus. Ooh. Christ.
I mean, that's where he fucked up at, because the stuff that was harder to eat, it would have marinated in there.
You know what? In 1968, they had it. It was around. It was harder to get, but they did have it.
And it was probably really even better than it is now.
And on that note, thanks to our primary sponsor, El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
It was great on body parts.
I had a heated person on Messenger just swearing that they had to go to several places to get the hot sauce. They're upset and mad, and they had sent an email, and they had to go looking for it.
Jesus Christ.
Shit.
Nobody's brainwashing you.
Yeah, people are weird. I was like, it's at Walmart, I promise. I emailed El Yucateco myself and they got back to him, and it is at Walmart. So take that, you son of a bitches. Right. So yeah, just go to Walmart and Target. It's fucking there. Brad, we're going to Target. Okay. This week we're going to Target. We're going to Target. We'll go to two Targets. How many Targets do we have?
We have like four.
Let's go to all the fucking Targets. It won't take us that long.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We have at least four.
Yeah.
Or you can go to elyucateco.com, where if you use code SOFAKING, you get 10% off on your full run of
I will say, they do not sell individual flavors there, which is part of the person's problem. You have to buy a six-pack.
Where?
On the website.
Well, then buy a six-pack.
Yeah. How much is it?
Because of shipping, I'm sure. You know what I mean? You can't sell one bottle. It would cost, you'd end up costing with shipping like $10 a bottle. You know, just fucking buy all of them. You want all the flavors. They're all fucking good. They're delicious. Yep. So shut up and buy El Yucateco. That's how we do it. So thank you to printdirtcheap.com for anything sticky or printed.
You know what? Hold on. Before we move on, I got to tell the fans something. Quit being bitches.
Also, don't quit on the sponsor part, because we talked about the legalization of marijuana for 10 fucking minutes after the last sponsor thing.
That's true.
Didn't
we? Yeah. Was I asleep?
When I had to go and do the cut, I was like, damn, we talked for like 10 minutes after the sponsors. Yeah. People probably turned off and missed this shit. Well, you never know. We might shut the fuck up after this one. You don't know. You got to wait around. You got to hear it.
I think a lot of people wait anyway because they want to hear what the final music is that's going to drop.
That's true. I don't know how far to skip.
I'm just not going to put music.
Let's fuck with them. Oh, what was that track? Nothing. So thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can get a discount using code SOFAKING on their website. If you need any type of thing printed, go there. Thank you to Digital Creations. They just delivered a whole flat of mugs, including Castle Times, Coleman, the Electric logo, and the OG logo. So we do have a bunch of mugs, but you can't buy them yet. The store is super fucking close. Yeah. We set up a whole like shipping and receiving merchandise facilitation area in front of the studio in the entry.
And to the people in the UK, a flat. It's like a box. It's not a fucking apartment.
So. Yeah. It's a whole bunch of mugs. So we got a lot, and there's more coming this week.
She drove them here and put them in her boot.
In her boot. What's that? That's a term?
Yeah. I don't know.
European term that we don't know?
No, go ahead.
They'll know. Okay. To all the people in the UK, the boot.
They're just really small mugs. She put them in her boot.
Oh, okay. I'm really confused.
That's all right.
All right. Well, so there's more coming this week. We'll have more mugs. We got hoodies. We got two different types of t-shirts, stickers, something else. Oh, we're working on hats right now too. So a bunch of shit. Okay. Our Patreon is about to go live. So look out for that. Thank you to
Speaking of big black dicks, De Leon Graphics Instagram.
I was going to say that. You took the dick right out of my mouth. Huh. Speaking of big black dicks, De Leon Graphics, a couple people actually sent him dick pillows and pictures of dick pillows, requests for dick pillows. Don't don't put it on his feed. Just send it to him.
Yeah.
Just put it on private message.
This is,
we're not trying to affect his actual business.
Yeah. This is a troll thing. Like, we're not trying to screw up his business here. Yeah.
Send them to him personally.
Yeah. Don't put it on his front page.
Send message him an email.
Message him. We want to hear about it. We don't want everybody else hearing about it.
Right.
Like, if it's good, we'll say who did it. Like, I mean, we'll give you shout outs. Like, it's got to be good though. If it's a picture of your dick, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it just has to be good.
Just blur out the head. If we don't see the head, it's like pasties.
It's not gay.
Yeah. Just veiny shaft. It doesn't even count.
Veiny shaft. Yeah. He won't even be offended at that point.
All right. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com for apparel, geese, and he has Black Friday sales right now.
Don't send him dick pics. That would be a mistake.
Nope.
But speaking of dicks, he will be rock hard if you watch his instructional DVD about judo or jiu-jitsu.
I'd be afraid. He might armbar it and break it.
He's going to armbar your cock. Brad insinuated that.
God, you said it.
I did. I'm sorry, Dan.
That's not what I was talking about. Brad, I was talking about armbarring an arm and breaking it. And I don't know.
Well, when I watch those, I have a third arm. They're hot. They are. Dan's a sexy man, and his instruction is great. So I don't know what to say. It's not my fault he's so hot.
Yeah. He's suppressing that homosexuality.
Yeah.
With the drinks.
I'll just drink it away into the next episode.
Supposedly we're getting whiskey or something I saw online.
A bunch of whiskey. A bunch of people have been saying, thank you for the gifts. Yeah. I hope it all makes it here. But there's I don't know. I gave out a lot of addresses this last week.
Fantastic.
So, I gave out one address lots of times.
How many sponsors do you?
Right.
Yeah. I think that's all the sponsors, I think. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. That's it.
We could talk for 10 minutes, but we could not.
We could. We could masturbate on a skull. That'd be fun. Together?
Pass.
Use a towel.
Yeah. Can we masturbate on your skull?
Pass.
Gross.
Come on. It'd be warm. It's cold.
Pass.
It's cold. It'd be like an egg cracking on your head.
Pass.
No. All right. Dummy retard.
He died of violent death.
He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's
in on arrival.
Bitch, if I'm in him, then I'm cinema ending. 10 of the minutes, the minimum. I eat 10 of the tick tock on the clock, taking out many.
He's in on arrival.
He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's
in on arrival.
Bitch, if I'm in him, then I'm cinema ending. 10 of the minutes, the minimum. I eat 10 of the tick tock on the clock, taking out many men. I don't do it to get famous. Something about the brain is aimless. Body where the stain is. I'ma be in the 6-4. Schizo. Talk another language. I'm aimless. Your brain split. I'ma commit to hit low. To the shit blow. This the foe. Ganging and banging. Lay in the playpen with the stainless. Put his brain in my apron. Then I'm escaping. Staple his legs. When I get to OK, I'm taping his legs. When I get to dope, I'm breaking his legs. Wanna omelet, better be breaking some eggs. Duck when the bomb hit, they finna pay. Smoke when the bomb lit, they finna pass it. I didn't get the acid. I'm baking that ass. Quick, breaking that ass. Quick, rhyme sound like I be taking the acid. He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's
in on arrival.
Bitch, if I'm in him, then I'm cinema ending. 10 of the minutes, the minimum. I eat 10 of the tick tock on the clock, taking out many.
He's in on
arrival. He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's
in on arrival.
Bitch, if I'm in him, then I'm cinema ending. 10 of the minutes, the minimum. I eat 10 of the tick tock on the clock, taking out many men.
In on arrival.
Maybe the reason that you're so paranoid is because you smoke so much fucking marijuana. Wouldn't you think?
I don't know, I just spit that shit like I do coke.
You do coke?
I do hope you get this shit quick because Spidey's broke.
Spidey's broke.
I do joke, I got shit that ripped that Chinese dope. I do low, I got crip shit in me like Tiny Low. I ain't active, my 9mm make niggas do backflips. And I'ma get with them with minimum practice. Then I'ma just hit them with a little gymnastics. My heat is plastic, I beat the bastard. I eat that ass quick for dinner. The winner get me, I'm acid. And I don't have to be the nigga that spit it the fastest. Mr. NASA, ASAP, give me my cashes. Muhammad Ali, nigga, sleeping asses. Grizzle Ivy be beating the asses.
In peace,
my nigga, molasses. Couldn't see me with 24 pairs of glasses. You ain't the only one that got goons. Shit that'll bloody up rooms. Rips that'll bloody up shoes. Hop the 6-4, pop the pistols. And I can get close enough to hit those. Rock and split those. She talk a good talk, so walk a good walk. Get up and let's go. It's the Mr. Pistonista. Stick stisses. Get your kids quick. Take them and rape them. It's the sickness. Take them and bake them. He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's
in on arrival.
Bitch, if I'm in him, then I'm cinema ending. 10 of the minutes, the minimum. I eat 10 of the tick tock on the clock, taking out many.
He's in on arrival.
He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's
in on
quite obvious that people are addicted to your sickness. And they all seem to be emulating you. Perhaps you should do something about that.
I just know niggas couldn't see me with a telescope. I just hope you tell them that Chung coming, so tell us ho. Tell us ho. I got thick, thick bitch, so smell this dope. I mean, sniff this coke, it's terrific shit drips out his nose. Shit, I don't need this. I carry a machete and I rip the cleavage. I carry him and bury him. I'm leaving him deep six, marrying the ball bearing when I grind the teeth grip. I prefer a deep dish. I'ma be hiding behind him with the meat cleaver. Mommy be crying, I'm frying with the heat seeker. Probably be trying, I'm coming with the eat shit. Peter Parker, aka co-hanger strangler. They may pray, but the lynch is hanging her. After she did, Lynch Chung is banging guts. Right. Ain't no taming us. We get your brains and your veins and bring them with us. Come on. Get a tap and bang it with us. One thing we insane and bringing it up. My tongue hang when I'm aiming, aim at the guts. Nigga lope to the brain, wrapped all in the one. Hot dog ass niggas get wrapped in a bun. Tongue slit, neck brains hanging with hung. The real sickness is back, so get it and run. I'ma get this shit intact when I aim it, it's done. I'ma get this shit intact when I aim it, it's done. Sickness, get your dick split. Dick split.
He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's in on for writing. Ship him in him, then I'm sending my ending. 10 in a minute, it's a minimum. I eat 10 at a tick tock on the clock, taking out many. He's in on for writing. He won't have no head no more. He won't have no bread no more. I won't have to get fed no more. He's in on for writing. Give him in him, then I'm sending my ending. 10 in a minute, it's a minimum. I eat 10 at a tick tock on the clock, taking out many men. In on for writing.
I can't control my own mind. My mind is uncontrollable.
Well, just keep coming back and we'll figure it all out. Don't worry too much.
It's the only answers I can give you.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.